Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome, you are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend, and we have jumped ahead on time. We are now into officially the spring season, according to the calendar anyway. I don't know where you are, but where we are here in Michigan, it hasn't rained in like 12 days, which is super atypical for the Michigan spring. But glad to see the sunshine every day, and makes you want to get out and fire up a grill or a smoker, or maybe do a little bit of cleanup. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is a little bit of spring cleanup. I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, yeah, thanks, and welcome. It is 4 days into spring now, so it's a little too early to shoot the rain in the keister.
Right.
It's coming.
Yeah.
But what I'm looking forward to is in a couple of weeks maybe getting some steelhead fishing in.
Uh-huh. I had a buddy on Facebook that I think caught an early run. He showed a picture of him, and he was kneeling in the snow on the side of the stream,
but he had a
fish in his hand. So I was like, "Yeah, okay, it's coming." I'm pumped up about that too. That's one of the rights of spring.
Yes,
in my opinion.
So there's a happy possum somewhere.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if he threw it back or not, but
no,
yeah.
I mean the gut pile.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
They like those cleaning up after us.
Yeah.
Another good reason to leave those possum alone. I think in the past we've all been mean to possums. And
all they do is smile at you.
I know. They're grinners. Yeah. But, you know, it's North America's only marsupial, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I've been reading up a lot on them for some crazy reason. I think there's a love group out there posting all kinds of stuff on them. But honestly, they do a lot of good. They eat a lot of insects. So.
Right.
I live in Mosquito Haven out in West Michigan in the woods, and I think it's probably about as bad for mosquitoes as anywhere I've ever been. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in my youth in the UP, and I thought that was the worst. But I think Lowell, Michigan might be as bad as the UP.
Right.
They're a little bigger skeeters up there.
Yeah, right. Not carrying you away so
no,
much. Yeah,
not so much.
Exactly.
Did you grill anything good this week?
You know, it was since I've talked to you, the St. Paddy's Day was last weekend on mm-hmm. Saturday. And, of course, we had Billy Quinn in, and he throws a heck of a party. I went home, and Saturday got away from me with St. Paddy's Day. So I worked on Sunday, and I put the corned beef that I bought out of the store in the bag with the juice and the seeds, took it out, rinsed it off, put it on my smoker, fat side up, okay, and I cooked it on there and for about 2 hours till it got to 150 degrees internal temperature, right? Then I took and put it in just a foil pan, right, and put some apricot marmalade on top of it, and this is fat side up. I cooked it fat side up, and then I put it in that tin, put my remote thermometer in it and took it to 195. And I tell you what, that it was perfectly done. I didn't use the little seed packet. There was no boiling involved at all.
No bird seed on it?
Right, nope. I put the smoke to it for the first couple hours and then kind of sealed it up in that pan and took it to 195. And it was, you know, just flaking off like it should.
Nice.
Oh, man, it was fabulous. But I picked up that recipe online, right? I just Googled smoked corned beef, so I can't take credit for anything, but the apricot gave it kind of, I know that Michelle liked it a lot better than just a regular piece of corned beef because it had a little bit of a sweet tinge to it, and just tasty. It was just a good thing, and no seasoning other than the apricot on there, and it kind of glazed a little bit when it was covered in that foil and steamed it a little bit too, and it was just a good little recipe, man.
Nice.
Yeah, what about you?
You know, Maureen made that big Irish dinner, so I did the corned beef for her in my Dutch oven.
Oh, well, surprise.
But I trimmed all the fat off of it.
Okay.
And threw it in with a little bit of stout and, gosh, I don't even remember what happened. That was a week ago now. So just probably left it in for about 3.5 hours, and it was just perfect. She added it to, well, I made several of them because we ended up with quite a crowd at our house. And she made some Kulkalan, which we had on. We never gave the recipe out last week for Kulkalan either.
Oh.
I did post a picture of it on our page. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll see my plate. And I'll tell you, I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. But it was beautiful. That Kulkalan is like mashed potatoes. And I think there's a little bit of carrots and celery in it and onion and cabbage. So it's kind of like a great little compote on the side of your
And you boil that down? How's that prepared?
She boils potatoes and mixes all that stuff together, whips it up with cream, Irish butter, and lots of cool stuff.
So what's Irish butter?
It's from a cow with an accent.
Okay. Yeah. Eats a lot of clover?
Got a little whiskey taste.
All right. Just checking. Wasn't sure what Irish butter was.
Bulls are stout. I know that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But sorry. So the best I can do.
Right.
And then a bunch of cabbage, of course, and just a big stack of corned beef. We devoured everything. There was a giant bowl of Kulkalan left on Sunday, and the boys scarfed that up and took it back to their homes.
Yeah, right.
Because they're scarfers.
So you had everybody in for the, the holidays, so to speak.
Yeah. It was very nice. And we built that big addition on our house. We now have this giant living room. And we did not enlarge our kitchen, to my chagrin. I kept begging Maureen to do so, and you didn't help me in that regard.
Well, I, you know what? I know who's boss. Right.
So we had 30 people in the kitchen, nobody in the living room.
Right, yeah.
But the new island's working out really well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And when you want to do the rest of it, we'll be there. Right?
Yeah, good.
So, yeah, no big deal. But so, yeah, it was a good week. I just, busy with work. We're both kind of in the construction business.
Mm-hmm.
And I function in one of my roles as kind of a sales manager, and we subscribe to some of this builder track, it's called. It's mm-hmm. tracks the housing permits.
Sure.
Then, holy crap, 2 weeks ago, there was 2 pages when I get the report every week. There were 7 this week.
Right.
So it's the season is upon us, and which is another rite of spring, right?
And yes. If you're in the trades, like in the northern part of the country, you have something called frost laws. So the cement trucks basically and the equipment haulers are the ones that everybody's waiting on.
Right.
So right now the frost laws are in effect, and you can't haul your backhoes, cranes, or cement trucks, form trucks, all that stuff out to the job site. So everybody's like chomping at the bit, and the orders start backing up.
Right.
So when the floodgates hit, boy, it's going to be a whirlwind. And I don't think we're too far away. We've had a little bit of nice weather and starting to warm up now. So I'm looking forward to everything getting green again.
Yeah, that is good, because then you kind of feel like it is spring a little bit. A couple weeks ago, 3 or 4 now, that when I was down there in Texas, that we were just a little ahead of it down there,
yeah.
Too. And now my brother's rubbing it in, sending me pictures of it. You were here 2 weeks too early, you know, that kind of thing. And so it's coming. It's moving north, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get our share
Let's
of it.
Let's hope so. And the Northeast, you folks out in New Jersey listening, you're shoveling yet.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
they are.
Just those Nor'easters, man. I know I've been in Atlantic City every January for years, and we get killed by a blizzard. So that's the hazards of the East Coast, the Northeast.
Yeah, so coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about what to do in the spring when it's time to pull your equipment out. If you've got one of those clipped man cards where you put your grills and smokers away for the year, then now's about the time you're going to get them out, and we're going to talk a little bit about some spring cleanup. So you're listening to The Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer? float.
Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6-packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Bob, we've been talking a little bit about the spring, and this is the time of year where the guy goes to the back of the shed or the back corner of the garage and digs out the grills, the smokers. Between you and I, we probably got a dozen. I know that I've got 5 in the garage, and some of them I use year-round. Others, the big trailer units out in the yard parked under the tarp, and some of them are just tucked back there in the corner that don't get used that often.
You might be surprised when you pull that tarp off.
Yeah.
There might be some critters in there.
Right, yeah.
You got to shut those vents up.
Right, yeah. They like the taste of that grease, yeah.
Mice actually really like to get into grills.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So if you left yours on your deck with a cover on it, when you pull it out now, you've probably already taken your cover off, you might find a whole bunch of newspaper or insulation or chewed up cardboard or weeds or who knows what in there, and they might be scattering. And if you wait a few more weeks to open it, you'll have a bunch of babies in there.
Yeah, so, you know where else you find that is in your bag chairs.
Really?
Done that before, okay. Too. Pull that bag chair out of there, and there's a little nest in the bottom and smells because they've been in there all winter, right?
Ooh. Now, so if it's spring and you're going out to get a new one, you got a lot of choices to get. Of course, a lot of people are asking me about pellet grills right now.
Right.
And I can't believe at the growth in that segment of the market. It's still happening.
Well, you know what I think? It's a simple theory. It's lazy grilling.
Well, smoking has really caught on.
Right.
And your sentiments are, I believe, a big part of it is that people want to smoke, but they see their buddy with his cool homemade or his cool whatever, and they just don't feel, they feel intimidated maybe or whatever, and then lo and behold, they find this neighbor that's got this handy little gizmo. He pushes a button, and he goes to sleep, and that's what he wants to do.
Right, and you got a digital thermometer that'll give signal to your cell phone so you can go about your day, and when your cooking time is done, as you've pre-programmed it with controlled temperature, right, then it sends you an alert, and you walk out there and pull the food off and feed it to your family,
right?
I mean, that's as automated as this thing. I have one, right? I used it for that corned beef that we talked about in the last segment. But it doesn't, in my humble opinion, it doesn't create the same flavor that I can over lump charcoal
in a flavor.
Smoker. But it's a good flavor, and it's not traditional. It's more conventional. But I have a pellet smoker. So let's talk about that one then. on what you need to do, even if you've been using it all winter or if you haven't used it all winter. Spring's a time for cleanup,
well,
so let's tear one of those apart.
That's a great point, and I think when it's really cold out, I am totally guilty. Now, a couple weeks ago, I think before my party last weekend, I got the Dawn and the hot water out and a scrub brush, and I washed down the top of my stainless unit outside and the stainless countertops because I hadn't done it for a couple of months, but I did it midwinter sometime when we got a warm day just because the dust, the atmospheric stuff that ends up on it,
right,
along with the little drippings from the week before, whatever, and you start getting this buildup, and then the smoke adds to it, and it gets to be really ugly and cruddy.
Right.
So Dawn is my favorite, and if your name is Dawn, you'll know why.
Right.
But I love cleaning up that stainless. It feels so good to get it off. And with a pellet grill, very often they're not stainless. They're just black, so you don't see the mess quite as much. And you might have had it in your garage, but guess what? Inside, it's a mess.
Right.
You probably haven't vacuumed it. So let's take that thing apart. Let's pull it outside, and let's get some cardboard. I would say newspaper, but nobody has those anymore.
Right.
So get some kind of a tarp that you can throw away underneath it, because you're going to have black stuff that your wife's not going to want you tracking all over your driveway or you're in your house.
Right.
So the dog and the kids will run through it, and it's just tar.
Well,
so,
and there's a side note. The dogs, I would put that up a little bit, because my dogs come over and lick the heck out of those grill grates.
That's one way to clean it.
Yeah, right. But I'm not sure it's that great for the dog either, right? Because now you're just prolonging the mess until it happens again. But anyway. Right. So you take all the grates out, set them somewhere.
You get a nice piece of cardboard. I always save my big boxes, and I pull those out, make a nice work area there, and also disposable gloves.
Yep.
Because when you start pulling that stuff out, it's a mess, and getting it off your hands is a chore. So if you put some disposable gloves on and do your work with that, by the time you've done all the dirty work, you can chuck those, and you can put some clean gloves on for the second stage. So you pull the grates out, you pull whatever pieces out. If it's a pellet grill, you're going to pull out probably a drip pan, and then you're going to find a burner pot, and that's got a removable tray in it, and then you're going to have a bunch of ash in both the burner pot and in the belly. So you need your shop vac. You'll need a 4-inch and a 1-inch putty knife.
Yep.
And you're going to want to scrape and vacuum, get all that stuff out of there. And then as far as your grates go, there's a couple ways to do those. You can either just take some grease cutter to them, or you can throw them back in the unit and fire it up with some tin foil over them, and that's your favorite object, right? You're an aluminum freak.
Well, but if you put the tin foil over top of them, there isn't a lot of scraping. It creates a reflective heat, and they get superheated, the grates do, and the stuff flakes off then.
So you're going to have to crank it up on high and get the highest temperature you can.
Right.
Heat it up, run it for about a half an hour, shut her down. Once it cools, you should be able to easily scrub and scrape that stuff right off there.
Let me go with, and I agree with you, let me go with a caution, because I did this. I'm not proud of it, but I'm confessing. I've told this story before if you're a longtime listener. I did exactly what Bob told you to do, is take the grill apart. But when I put it back together, I put... There's a shield where the pellet auger drops the pellets into the firebox,
in
right?
In yours there is.
In mine there is. But my point is, pay attention to how you took it apart.
Right.
So you put it back together the same damn
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Because I put that shield on there backwards, and what it did is it drove the fire up the auger line, and I'm like the set it and forget it guy. And I come outside.
3 years later, your garage is on fire.
Right, yeah. That stack that holds all of my pellets is like a chimney. And it's just, there's just fire shooting out of this thing.
So the point is, and we all have cameras. Just take a picture of it if it intimidates you a little bit, because there are a few parts in there. So, and all grills are different. Now, this one Randy has is a Louisiana grill, just because of the way they make that feeder and the burn pot. They make a weird lip on it that is real easy to put in backwards, and what he did was caused a little backup in the internal system.
Right, so it was burning a fire.
The fire will follow its way up,
right?
And it's called a hopper fire, and that has happened to plenty of people. I've heard people with Traegers do the same thing, only it's because they didn't clean them, and the burn pot just accumulated and backed up and does the same thing. So long story short, pellet grills have to be cleaned.
Right.
And this is a good time to do it. And
I would say empty your pellets out. If you left pellets in this thing through the winter, pretty good chance you pull those out of there because they probably drawn some moisture. Or again, you might have had an animal get in there if there's no cover on it. Usually there is, but
depends on how moist your garage is.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Because those things are going to swell with moisture and then they'll gum things up and it just won't work. Start clean, start fresh, know it's the right stuff. And you know, it's just a good way to roll with it. Coming up next, Barbecue Bob and I might talk a little bit about the Full Belly Deli, and we got some more cleaning tips. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Don't give me that salt shaker and lime. Don't give me that comeback chaser this time. Don't muddle it up. Don't water it down. Give me everything I got right here, right now. Make it burn.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Alan Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Job from the Grillin' Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Yeah, you are listening to the Grillin' Guys show on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we want to welcome some new stations across the state. If you're listening to us for the first time, sit down, get your coffee ready because we're having a little bit of fun today. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking over there, man?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit about spring tune-up, and it's a list for real men. This is what you do to your grill, your gas grill or your charcoal grill, but first of all, I guess I'd like to talk about gas grills because it's probably 60% of the usage out there at least.
Oh, yeah.
It's 57% of purchases in North America. And I'm going to say because it's so easy to use, people use their gas grills a lot more than their charcoal, even if they have multiples, and you and I do. So I'm guilty. I mean, I will go out and fire up my infrared and throw anything on there from hot dogs to crab, shrimp, whatever. It's going on that fast because I'm generally getting home from work and my wife's looking at me like, I bought this meat.
Right. Yep. Exactly. And you're the meat guy.
And she's getting spoiled.
Right.
Let's face it.
Well.
And that's okay.
You know,
Spoil your wife. Grill.
I'm expected to do it, right? I'm the grilling guy. And so it's, and frankly, I'm a snob because I don't want anybody else doing it if I'm going to eat it.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I've got buddies that know how to grill.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go out and ask Michelle to step out on the back deck and grill something. That's my domain, right? And it's not that don't think she could do it. It's just I prefer to do it.
Enough said.
Right.
Enough said.
Yeah.
So if you have that gas grill and it's been used all winter or stored all winter, kind of the same issues. Most people don't clean their grill in the fall before they put a cover on it and roll it into their garage. I'm guessing that they're doing it sometime in November before the first snow flurries come.
Sure.
Because their wife's been bugging them to put it away because she already put all the lawn furniture away. Or whatever your story is. Everybody's got a different routine. But so you might have put it away dirty. If you did and you have mice in your garage, I'll guarantee you they have been exploring, if not more.
Right.
So they do like to eat the little food bits and stuff off of there because in the winter it's hard for them to forage.
Yep.
And there's a treasure trove of stuff. And
if you didn't clean it, absolutely.
It's kind of disgusting, you know, yeah. To think about it. But one of the other things they might do is they might chew the wires for your igniter. If you have an automatic igniter, whether it's battery-powered or a piezo igniter, they might chew that wire. And those are all millivolt systems, so you have to make sure that you take care when we're going through this list to pay attention to that igniter. So, again, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to get some cardboard or newspaper or whatever I can throw away, and I'm going to get that 1-inch, 4-inch putty knife. With a gas grill, I'm also going to get my cordless out and a drill box and my shop vac and some disposable gloves and a nice IPA because this is going to take a while.
Yeah, you missed that on the last one.
Yeah, this is going to take a while. So the drill bit, so you're going to take this thing apart, get your cardboard spread out, and you're going to start by throwing your gloves on and pulling the grates off. And then every gas grill is a little different. Very often you're going to have some sort of a deflector hood over the burner. You pull those off, and then you're going to have your burners. Now, depending on the make and model and brand and all this, it all looks different now. You might have something in there that are ceramic briquettes, and you'll have to do the same thing with those. Pull them out. And to get at your burner assembly and any ash pan or catch pan underneath it. While you're cleaning it, leave that catch pan underneath it because it's going to
keep
you from leaving more stuff in the belly of the beast. But I get the drill bit because especially if it's just a galvanized steel burner, those things, gas has a lot of acid and stuff
in it.
It's
caustic, yep.
And it tends to want to corrode the burners. And you'll see areas of it where it'll start to rust. And that's where the flame is not coming out, so you want to make sure you re-bore those holes out.
So it's a tiny little drill bit. I mean, you'll see the holes in the burner itself.
Yep.
So it's a tiny little drill bit. I want to go back above the burner for one thing before I forget, is those ceramic briquettes, okay? I have an old Broilmaster grill out on my back
deck.
They
still use them.
I still use it.
They
still use the briquettes. But I'm going to tell you what, that after about 3 or 4 years and 3 or 4 seasons, you pick one of those stuff up and it starts to crumble around the edges. Time to replace, guys, because that briquette is there to absorb heat and radiate heat and to stop the juices and things from hitting your flame.
It's about $50 for all your briquettes.
But you need a new set of those if they're crumbling away because they're not working like they should.
Well, and it depends on how much you use it, of course, as to how long they last. But one thing you want to do is when you put them back in your grill, and we were going to cover this in a little bit, but make sure you flip them over so the grease side is down.
Yeah. Yep.
And then your first ignition, it'll burn that grease off them, and you'll buy a summer of no big flare-ups.
Right.
And they're there to absorb the grease and prevent flare-ups. So you find a drill bit that matches the hole of a clean hole in that burner and just ream those out. You might even use just like an awl or a toothpick or something like that. A wire brush is nice. But scrub those burners up nicely and pay attention to how you pulled them out. Again, it's okay to take a picture because what you're doing is you're pulling off probably one or up to four burners, and it's going to kind of have a little cradle apparatus that it sets in so that it sits just right. And one end of it's going to have a hole with an air shutter on it. Don't mess with the shutter unless you have a bad burn, and we'll go over that some other time. But make sure when you slide that back in when you're reassembling it that you pay attention to how it was when you took it off, because that has to seat over an orifice.
Right.
And you want it in the right place so that you don't have gas spilling. You know, you'll
into
have,
your cooking
you'll have
chamber.
A bad ignition.
Right.
Yeah. And yep. it'll surprise you when you start it.
So looking at that burner, when you open it up, they're tubular, they're an H shape, they're, you know, whatever it may be when you pull that out of there.
Could be a ribbon burner one.
Right.
And a different orifice per.
Yep.
If you have four or five valves, then you got four or five burners. It's single. If you have one or two, they could be a U shape on each side.
Yep.
So they're all different.
Right. But when you reach down in there and you go to pull that out of there, if you put your thumb through it, replace it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Is you'll know looking at the thing if it looks like it's worn out, it's probably worn out.
Yep.
If you try to get another season out of that thing and it is worn out, you're getting underperformance.
Yeah.
This is when you start getting hot spots.
You wasted your time. Yeah. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about how to do that and where to get those.
Okay. Very good. But it's just so we got the thing, the burners back in.
Yep.
Maybe you got some new briquettes and you put it back together. In my opinion, you basically want to fire that thing off and burn it off for a few minutes before.
Yep.
Don't just immediately cook on it.
Right.
Because what Bob just mentioned is so very important. Make sure you don't have a gas leak somewhere that's going to cause this.
Yep.
Hot spot. Or
that's right.
But
we're not to that point yet.
Okay.
We forgot something.
Okay, my bad.
We have to, once we've got those burners out, there's probably a catch pan underneath there.
Okay.
And if there's not, doesn't matter. You've got a bunch of junk down in there. So here's where you need that 4-inch putty knife. If you don't have a catch pan under it, and I'd be surprised, you got to take a 4-inch putty knife and start scraping all that junk with your shop vac and get all that buildup out of there. Don't worry so much about the stuff on the hood. That's a patina. That's there for flavor. If it's flaking off, you can vacuum that off, but don't try scraping, and never use soap inside your grill. Okay, but so you'll want to scrape that belly out or the catch pan. If there's a pan under there, scrape them out as best possible. If there's a catch pan under there, it's okay to throw some degreaser on there and clean that up a bit, because that's closer to the flame. You want to avoid any flare-ups there. But now you can put that baby back together. But before you do, you'll want to test your igniter, because you've got it all taken apart, and you'll see the first burner, if it's multiple, when you click your igniter, whether it's a piezo clicker or a battery powered, you're going to see if that little igniter has a spark to it or not.
Right.
And the key is to make sure that it's got a nice spark and that that's working well.
Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about, do I rebuild or do I buy a new one? And a little bit of man law. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Do you close your eyes? Does it make you laugh? Do the memories take you back? Six packs in a Chevy Cheyenne, way back when I was Jack and you were dying.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope your weekend is shaping up to be a good one. Here in Michigan, where we're at, Mother Nature's been shining on us, literally. And so it's a great weekend to get out and clean up your equipment and dust it off, maybe blow out your orifice and get her going. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's going on, man?
Well, we kind of didn't really finish up all that. I wanted to cover just a couple more things on putting that gas grill back together. Most of these things are going to work with a charcoal grill, too, except you're going to have more vacuuming, and you're still going to have to scrape the belly out. To burn off the grates, you'll do that the first time you fire it up. Charcoal grills don't tend to end up with really bad grates.
Nope.
Because those coals last long after you're done cooking, and it kind of takes care of itself if you're smart enough to put the lid on and shut it down when you're done.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of that igniter, that's one thing I wanted to cover because a lot of people have igniter trouble and they just go without it. And you really don't have to. See that?
And then you get the whoo.
Or they're trying to throw a match,
in there, right? Yeah.
So if you have just a little red push button that you hear a click from, that's called a piezo igniter. And it's a cool little device that just strikes up a little generator, throws a little millivolt of power to it, and creates an arc with the same type of probe that a battery-powered one would. But there's one way to test it, and that's to pull the wire. If it's not arcing at the flame rod, you might pull that wire off and simply hold it close to the flame rod and see if that spark is jumping across there, okay?
Kind of like how you used to jump your brother's car when you wanted to steal it from him, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You can replace those very easily. It's just got a couple clips on the back. You pull it right out of the front of your grill, go buy a new one. Matter of fact, you can buy the whole assembly. And there's lots of stores that have very nice supplies of grilling replacement parts. There's one in like any major market or two. And they just specialize in parts. And I found that there's a couple sweet spots where I live. If nothing else, you can go online. There's a magazine that most grill dealers get. It's called Music City. So if you go see a grill dealer and he doesn't have a part, ask him if he's got a Music City catalog. And ask him to let you look at it. Because you will find your part in there. I guarantee you. It's out of Nashville. Course, why it's called Music City, and they have every grill part known to man. Otherwise,
I'm sure they got a website that
They sell to dealers.
Okay,
but there's plenty of people online. Just be careful where you're shopping online, because there's plenty of differences in price and practice, and how soon they ship, what the return policy is. There's a few big guys out there, and I'm not going to promote anybody in specific, but you be the judge. You can buy, and if it's a battery-powered igniter, you can do it the same way. It just has a collar. It screws off the dashboard of your grill, and you get the whole – it might just need a new battery.
Right.
Yep. But you can buy the whole assembly for like $35. They're very simple. So if you have to rebuild – I would tell you to, if it's something you got in a big box store, like a char grill, don't rebuild it.
Right.
Just don't try. Because, you know, it's a really mediocre product to begin with. And you paid $300 for it. Consider it a recycled product and go buy a good one next time.
Yeah. So let's talk the last thing then. We've got the grill put back together and it's ready to go. The igniter's working. What about that gas tank? I think that there's a little bit of care and maintenance. If you were smart when you put it away, you disconnected the gas tank
from the
grill, right, and didn't leave it just sitting in there all hooked up. So you have the potential for the gas tank itself and the fitting that goes, the regulator that goes on the tank, to be, those may need to be cleaned as well, because you got spiders and bugs and things that
if you took
make
it
little
apart,
nests
absolutely.
In there.
When I take mine apart, I take a little piece of duct tape and put it over the grill, and there's a hose that comes out.
Right.
Might be copper if it's old enough.
Yep.
I put a little piece of duct tape over it because you're absolutely right. The spiders love to fill that full of sand.
Right.
They do that also with your orifices and your shutter up in your burners. So you always have that potential, and that's a good reason to clean it. But you convinced me long ago to have a second tank. I now have three.
Right.
Because... Yep. Shame on you if you run out. Now, mine are hard piped for the most part, but I still have some portable units and deep fryers and stuff I like to bring around. So you can never have too many propane tanks in your house.
Right.
Because when you want to have a shindig, you want everything working and you want to have those backups there. But when you do hook that gas back up to your gas grill, again, now let's get that foil out. Let's fire that grill up on high and let's put the foil on top and put your lid down. Shut that thing up and heat it up and burn off all that crud on that grate. It's much easier than taking a brush to it. And if you do take a brush to it, make sure you go over it with a stone or something that's brush-free when you're done.
Right.
Because you don't want any of those stainless little prongs going in.
I was in the warehouse store the other day, and this is the time of year, you know, the Costco, the Sam's Club, whatever mm-hmm. it is by you. This is the time of year where they transition from the winter to the spring, as you would expect. They had these wooden paddles, and I know you bought one last year,
mm-hmm.
and that is, it's to clean the grates on your grill, and that is a great way to make sure you run one of those over that after you've used a brush, because every year we read articles, we hear about people that are using an old brush, and one of the bristles comes off and gets stuck on the crud on your grill, and then they cook something, and they get a wire in their
yeah.
throat or whatever. You don't need to do that.
Best thing is just throw the brushes away.
Exactly.
They
get
make
a new
these
one.
Scrubber pads that look like almost like a coarse Brillo pad, and mine is like got double heads on it and a big handle, and you just run that over your grate, and it cleans it wonderfully. Now, I also have those stones that were made in Phoenix. We had them on the show last
right.
year.
Yep.
And those kind of wear down to match your grill
yeah.
so you can clean it up like a real man.
It kind of wraps right around there. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law is applicable throughout the year. Doesn't matter if it's spring, winter, fall. Men shall not gossip. Period.
Said.
Period. It takes time away from ripping on your friends. So don't gossip. Just rip on them.
Right.
Do it in front of them.
Well, it's no fun to rip on somebody unless they're there to take it.
For the most part, I find that guys don't gossip so much anyway. It just, I don't know, there's something inherently not cool, and it goes against something. I don't know. It's just not a big thing quite so much, maybe like the opposite sex.
Potentially. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want to be talked about by all those girls.
Now that we have something to gossip about.
Right. Yeah.
So if you have to rebuild, find that store in your neighborhood, and let's say you said you had a Broil King.
Right.
Go online, find your local Broil King dealer.
Right.
Okay, you have a Broil Master. Those two companies both have great resources, and they'll point you to the right store. You call them up and say, hey, here's my model. Get your model number. Take the part in with you. Take a picture of it.
Right.
Call them up, and I'll guarantee you those guys, if they're selling a Broil King or a Broil Master, they've probably been selling grills for a long time. Because those are kind of professional grade
right.
units. They're the better stuff.
And
they have sold them a long time, and they've had to have parts.
Right, and they'll usually have them on hand. What I would tell you, though, is if you've made the investment in a nicer grill, which that Broil Master is, keep your receipts, because there are lifetime warranties on this stuff. And from time to time, they'll want to prove where you bought it
oh.
for them to warrant the product.
I guess
right?
the other thing is then register it when you do get it.
Yeah,
new one.
Exactly. Because I have a file with the, believe it or not, the thing was purchased in 2003. Still functions very well, but I take care of it. I replace things. every 3 or 4 years. I go through it, right, and do it. But I got to pay shipping usually on parts, and then they'll give me the parts because it's a warranted grill. But, you know, back then it was a couple $1,000 grill.
They didn't warrant your siding, though.
No. And the horse you rode in on, Barbecue Bob.
There's another story we won't talk about. Jop's got some funny grilling stories when he was, let's just say, getting broke in.
A lesser grilling guy. You've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We got one more little bonus segment for you, so stick with us. We'll be back.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we got a little bonus segment here for you. Had a few extra minutes to kill, so we thought we'd chat a little bit. Bob, what you thinking, man?
Well, I put that I'm doing that review for Silverback on their pellet grill, and I had to use it, so I
took one for the team.
Well, you know, I've got to cook a bunch of times on it and do write ups and all. It's time consuming, but I'm gonna cook anyway. It's not hard. I just have to take notes and pictures and blah blah blah. So my first go around was with just something simple that I had. Unlike tonight, I'm doing ribs on it. But first thing I did was some pork tenderloin that I found on sale, and I'm becoming a huge fan again of those things. I fell away from them. And then I started buying the pre-season ones, and it was like it bailed me out.
Those are about the size of your forearm, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the littler ones with
tenderloins.
They're all seasoned.
There's usually two in a pack. So I bought the plain ones. And my daughter, Emily, when she came out to help us with Olivia's graduation, she got me hooked on this marinade that's on the Grilling Guys recipe. It's called carnita or pork carnita. And so I've been on a lot of pork. I tend to really like that. My mouth's watering right now, remembering how good it was. So it's basically some cilantro, orange juice, pepper, garlic, and a little bit of beer. And you throw it all in a blender, and you make this wonderful marinade. Well, I make a whole bunch of it now when I make it because it's a bit of work. And I also find that what's really wonderful is to use that when the meat's finished, just to make a bath for it, because I like it so much that I want to absolutely soak the meat in it.
Yeah.
But it, like, especially if you're doing a pork shoulder. So I did these tenderloin on that Silverback, and I'm telling you what, this recipe is fantastic. If you're trying out a smoker or if you just got your first little pellet grill, go to our website. It's thegrillingguys.com. Top right corner, you'll see a search bar. Just put in pork carnita. And copy that recipe down. You can print it right off the website. It's a great resource, actually. If you've never been to our website, it's thegrillingguys.com. And you will love that on pork, and you'll also love it on chicken. It's very citrusy, and you get to throw a beer in it. The traditional recipe
so
calls
it takes
for a
two
Mexican
beers.
Beer.
There's one for the recipe and one for
least,
you. Right?
At least. So I played around with marinating. With those shoulders, I leave them in for a day. But for these tenderloin, I left them in that bath for 8 hours. They were fantastic. I was afraid it was too much because of the acid and the orange juice. But it looks a little funky because the acid does want to chew it up a little bit. But the flavor is fantastic because that's a real mild piece of meat.
And when you say the acid wants to chew it up a little bit, when you pick that up out of that marinade, it's going to be a little punky on
white.
The outside.
Yeah, it's going
right?
to look white.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
but
it,
don't take that as being a problem.
No,
because
it's really
it'll grill
not.
Right out of it.
It disappears.
Right.
Totally disappears. So I smoked these for about an hour, and then I cranked them up and got some some nice char on the outside and crisping them up and brought them up to 140, mm-hmm. maybe.
Right. I think that's a key there because so many people overcook their pork.
Yes.
And a little pink center on that is not going to hurt
you
a bit.
As long as you're at 145, you're safe.
Right, exactly.
And tell your wife that. Look it up online. She'll want proof because right. women don't like to see that. And on chicken, it's the same way. Yep. Bring it to 165 max. Now, I take difference to that because if it's a wing or a thigh, I'm going to bring that up to 180.
Right.
Just so that it breaks down that stuff. But hit thegrillingguys.com. Go up there and check out our podcast. Top right corner. Look for the earmuffs. We'll send this show for free right to your phone. You can even send it to a friend.
You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're with you each and every weekend. Have a good time out there. Fire something up in your backyard, and we'll talk with you next week.